You're listening to SBS News.
Three people have been wounded and buildings damaged in the capital of Ukraine as Russian rocket attacks targeted central Kyiv during a visit from United Nations Chief Antonio Guterres. He says he and his team were shocked by the proximity of the Russian strikes, but they were all safe. The attacks offered a first-hand experience of the reality of the war in the besieged country under Russian bombardment for the Secretary General, who says the UN Security Council failed Ukraine.
Let me be very clear. The Security Council failed to do everything in its power to prevent and end this war. And this is a source of great disappointment, frustration, and anger. I have not the power to reform the Security Council. I have no illusions about the possibility to do it immediately. But I will do everything I can through making the UN as effective as possible in situations like these to at least compensate for a failure that I cannot solve.
He is in Kyiv to meet Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Shortly after a joint news conference, explosions shook Kyiv and flames poured out of windows in at least two buildings in the capital city, which has been relatively unscathed in recent weeks. Mr. Zelensky said five missiles targeted Kyiv after his meeting with the UN Secretary General.
Today, right after our talks in Kyiv, Russian missiles flew to the city, five missiles. This says a lot about Russia's true attitude towards global institutions, about attempts of Russian authorities to humiliate the UN and everything that the organization represents. Therefore, it requires a corresponding powerful reaction.
The UN chief had been visiting the destruction in small towns outside the capital that saw some of the worst horrors of the first onslaught of the war. Mr. Guterres has pledged to increase UN support to Ukraine.
We have provided life-saving humanitarian aid to 3.4 million people inside Ukraine, and we are aiming to more than double that number to 8.7 million by the end of August. Some recent estimates show a worst-case scenario in which some 25 million people could be in need of humanitarian assistance by the end of this year. We hope this scenario does not materialize, but we are obliged to plan for it. And we are expanding our cash assistance, distributing 100 million per month, reaching now 1.3 million people by May, and covering 2 million by August.
He says the UN must be allowed to do its work.
Ukraine is an epicenter of unbearable heartache and pain. I witnessed that very vividly today around Kyiv. The senseless loss of life, the massive destruction, the unacceptable violations of human rights and the laws of war. It is vital that the International Criminal Court and other UN mechanisms conduct their work so that there can be real accountability.
In the United States, President Joe Biden has asked Congress for $33 billion to support Ukraine, a dramatic escalation of U.S. funding for the war against Russia.
I just signed a request to Congress for critical security, economic, and humanitarian assistance. To help Ukraine continue to counter Putin's aggression and at a very pivotal moment. We need this bill to support Ukraine in this fight for freedom, and our NATO allies, our EU partners, they're going to pay their fair share of the cost as well, but we have to do this. We have to do our part as well, leading the alliance. The cost of this fight is not cheap, but caving to aggression is going to be more costly if we allow it to happen.
The vast funding request includes over $20 billion for weapons, ammunition, and other military assistance, as well as $8.5 billion in direct economic assistance to the government and $3 billion in humanitarian and food security aid. Mr. Biden is also seeking the ability to seize money from Russian oligarchs to pay for the war effort. He rejected the idea that the war could grow into a larger proxy conflict between Russia and the NATO allies after a warning to that effect from Russian President Vladimir Putin, who said it could bring the world closer to nuclear confrontation.
No one should be making idle comments about the use of nuclear weapons or the possibility of the need to use that. It's irresponsible. They're not true. They do concern me because it shows the desperation that Russia is feeling about their abject failure in being able to do what they set out to do in the first instance. And so I think it's more of a reflection, not of the truth, but of their failure.
Meanwhile, NATO says Finland and Sweden would be welcome to join the alliance. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg has confirmed both countries are talking to the 30-member military alliance about joining. He says any Russian intimidation of Sweden and Finland to try and stop them joining would simply show Russia is in the wrong.
And Russia tries in a way to threaten to intimidate Finland and Sweden from not applying. It just demonstrates how Russia is not respecting the basic right of every nation to choose its own path. So we are in dialogue with Finland and Sweden, and it's their decision. But if they decide to apply, Finland and Sweden will be warmly welcomed and expect the process to go quickly.
This comes as the British Foreign Office confirms a British man has been killed in Ukraine and a second person is missing. Media reports in the United Kingdom say the dead man is a former member of the British Armed Forces, understood to have been fighting for Ukrainian forces. Assam Al-Ghalib, SBS News.